Our next talk is by Miroslav Filipovic on discovery of a pulsar-powered Bioshock.
Right, I'm not going to be the first and last to say thank you to Panos and the local organizing committee. A phenomenal, fantastic job. But at the same time, this is probably a reminder for all of us that these things we shouldn't take, you know, for granted. About 10 centuries ago, I would say precisely 965 years ago, this will be the most dangerous place and most dangerous job, our job that we have here, and we should really acknowledge that. I'm going to spend the first couple of minutes just reminding you about that, why this particular job was very, very dangerous at this particular place within a couple of hundred kilometers. Below 1054 Crab SNR, Pulsar Wind Nebula, everything happened, and we know very well, in the best Hollywood script, that it's been seen all around the world. There are a lot of, East Asian records, but there is nothing from Europe. Just, a couple of decades earlier, 1006, there is plenty of European records, but there was no record at all, in Europe from this period. And this has been known, for the last few decades, and we are very puzzled. Over the last few years, I have obsession to find out the reasons, why is this happening? And again, in a beautiful Hollywood script, could be written from this and finding the reasons. The point is that two very famous scientists at the time, the guy called Psellos and the other one called Ibn Butlan, was at the time in this region, precisely in Constantinople today, Istanbul in Turkey, and they were, obviously, looking into this a beautiful, stellar event. And what happened is, believe it or not, on the same day when the peak, apparently, what we think that the peak of 1054 happened, the great political thing happened, the thing called the Great Schism, the split between the East and the West. And then, what happened, from here, a lot of, interesting things that we are finding. We used, the software, to look, to go back on 1054, and from East Asian records, we know that Venus and 1054 was about the same brightness, about -4, and then we reconstruct all that, and there's quite a lot of evidence that it's most likely it will be a 2 p.m. Type of event, and some reconstruction, a number of papers, worked in all that. So, where we can go, from here? Once again, guys, the both of these guys, both of astronomers suffered a lot. Psellos was sent to Mount Athos, which was basically a prison at the time, and the other guy was hiding, for the 6 months. And then, during these 6 months, we found a lot of evidence that he did phenomenal things. And what is that phenomenal things? He went, and minted the coins, and we found a specific edition of coins, about 180 of them, and from there, we noticed, that the stars could reflect Venus and and 1054, and we spend arm and a leg of money to properly measure the size of the stars, and guess what? It looks like the first time domain astronomy, the guy precisely minted the size of the star that could be reflected as a change of brightness of 1054. Amazing, really. We also, during this a search, we found a number of tombstones in the regions outside of the Christian control, where it depicts very nicely position of 1054. So this is one of the examples. We'll see if the Hollywood will be interested about that. But a reminder that this was a very, very dangerous job 965 years ago. Well, at least this region. So the rest of the talk I'll be a bit more serious and talk about the astronomy of the future. Well, astronomy of the future when it comes down to us. We've heard a lot of stories about the nearby bright supernova remnants, Cassa, and Cassa, and I think we also heard a lot of talks about the Cassa and a few posters about the Cassa. But there is a lot of other SNRs which are not as bright and not as easy, to study in the same level in the study of physics like Cassa. And one of the reasons why I am very interested, to discover as many new stamps as possible is to see, how we can relate them in a larger space of, 100,000 of years of their existence and their evolution. So here we go. There are two pictures of two completely different objects. They're not going to exercise the high school or primary school voting, you know, what do you think, which one is a pulsar wind nebula, which one is not, but I'm going to show you, you know, that we are very sure that one on the right-hand side is a pulsar wind nebula, well-known, well-studied pulsar wind nebula in the Large Magellanic Clouds, and the left-hand side is AGN, and on, seem. So, you know, morphology at that scale, you know, we have to be very careful. So this is just, you know, a very quick reminder of about the importance of the multi-messenger astronomy. So as far as the extragalactic pulsar wind nebula are concerned, we know only a few of them. In Large Cloud, we know five. We've heard this morning about, you know, this beast, the N157b, you know, seen in gamma rays. There is a couple of other, you know, sources, you know, very prominent. There is one very, very peculiar and interesting, N206, with a beautiful feature here. And one of my PhD students, the Vika, found a very interesting zigzagging of polarization. They're indicating maybe there is a precession, you know, the way how the neutron star of pulsar are moving there. So there you go, another mouse or something similar to mouse or CTB1. All right, okay. Well, in the latest survey, which just, you know, should be published quite soon, ASCAP 36 antennas, we found three new pulsar wind nebulas, well, at least candidates. I showed you one. This is the famous one, then 316b, you know, as you can see in the point source there. So it's going to be quite a lot of new things from the next generation of telescopes. This is our best image so far, well, until about a year ago, 6 months ago, of the SMC, and the object that I'm going to talk more over the next 10, 15 minutes is just over here. To remind you, Small Magellanic Cloud, this is the main body, this is the eastern wing. This side, you know, is the LMC. So this side is actually, the whole Small Magellanic Cloud is a mess of a galaxy. This side here is at about 55 kiloparsecs away from us. This end is at about 70. So it's the depth there, it's just a really complicated galaxy. Once again, a mess. Nevertheless, this is the best that we had till about 6 months ago. And from there, I'm going to try to drive you, you know, through a next generation of radio images of the Small Magellanic Cloud. So we know only a one definite a pulsar wind nebula, IKT-16, in the Small Magellanic Cloud. I promised, you know, a number of colleagues to show our latest image of O102. It was a couple of talks early on Monday. And as you can see, you know, there is a smudge here, which is very indicative of the pulsar wind nebula. This is a 6 centimeters image. And then, you know, I can see very clearly, you know, some possible blowouts here. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, I'll get the short spacings, and then I'll be very confident to say that there are, you know, blowouts in this region. The black contours are from 1992. My colleague Sean Amy observed one of the first observations with the compact array in 1992 was this object, so we can see clearly the way how it moves. So the color is a few months ago, and the black is from 1992, so it's definitely, you know, expansion being here. Again, I can't, you know, talk about the expansion in the same way how the Paul talked on Monday, because the Chandra is a much better resolution than the compact array. Simple as that. Nevertheless, you know, this is another possible pulsar wind nebula in the SMC, but again, there is definitely not a point source anywhere. Also in IKT-16, we didn't see the point source, radio point source anywhere in the nebula. Okay, well, we see other strange sources in the SMC related to the supernova remnants. There are a couple of X-ray binaries, BE X-ray binaries around SNRs. One of them we published in 2012. Another one is just being submitted. As you can see, the new one that we found is very close to 0102. There is SNR here, and there is a well-known BE X-ray binary. So it happens, you know, around these crazy. So there's a lot of crazy, interesting things happening with the different types of SNR. So as I said, you know, we are seeing a revolution right now with the new radio telescopes in a way that we are discovering low surface brightness SNRs, and some of them are very, very interesting. So that's the future. You know, I'm going to show you, you know, some images which some of my colleagues will not be happy time showing you, so, you know, please be careful not to take too many pictures out of next few slides. So this is one of our first ASCAP images from about 3 months ago. and we just submitted the paper on that. But this was used only 1/3 of the array, which we have at the moment. Small Magellan Cloud, again, the object that I'm going to talk a bit more in a couple of slides from now, 960 megahertz. It's quite nice. You know, it's something like, you know, almost 5,000 sources. Now, more, you know, from there, we see another beautiful image, you know, slightly different frequency, resolution, and sensitivity is just absolutely fantastic. To sum up, to show you, the inside there, you will see a lot of nebulosities and, you know, quite a lot of hard work, you know, to find new objects. Just, you know, a few reminders about the crazy objects, new supernova remnants, you know, binary black holes, even, you know, on the top right-hand side, which you shouldn't take the picture, please. Another couple of new supernova remnants there. One of them was not the new supernova remnant. It was known supernova remnant over the last 15 years called the MS5. The ASCAP image in contours indicates, you know, there is something here. We went, you know, deeper with a compact array and XMM. As you can see, it could be even a mixed morphology, so X-rays, you know. Completely opposite from there, but there is a hard X-ray here, and this is the M cells at the bottom, you know, showing very nice, you know, beautiful shell, quite big, and then, you know, this is a X-ray with our ASCAP, showing, you know, something's possibly happening there. And the most interesting image is this one. We found a beautiful point source, you know, and most likely a pulsar wind nebula, you know, happening here. There's a point source here. It's a little bit of polarization, you know, there, and using the, you know, the basic trigonometry, we get about it's moving between 700 and 2,000 kilometers per second. That's the best we can do, you know, because we don't know precisely the age of this SNR. So there is a few other interesting things as a spectral index and so on. Now, not to go too much further. Oh yeah, there is one more thing which I forgot to say is there is a, you know, very clear trail. We can trail all the way back, you know, to the center of the SNR. So it's quite cool, very interesting. And we also found infrared. We've heard a lot about the infrared yesterday afternoon. So I think, you know, maybe we should pay a bit more attention to search for infrared for this type of object and see, you know, how they relate. We measure, you know, a couple of regions and found that the ratio is typical, you know, for SNRs with a supersonic bow shock and presence of the shock gas. So, you know, these three regions is belonging, you know, to this molecular, you know, size. So, you know, very pleased about that. And of course, you know, the H1 shows very nicely, you know, that the SNR is wrapped inside. And this is the from compact array and from the ASCAP, you can see it's very nicely tucked in, you know, in some sort of a hole or a shell around that. Yet another image which I shouldn't show you, this is a galactic center image which is not clean. You know, there will be a much better images, you know, over the next few weeks there. This is just show you, you know, a few potential. This is the mouse here, a number of, you know, SNRs here. There is a new SNR here not seen before, and all these, you know, things which we have no idea what they are. So instead of the conclusion, well, if you decide to put the hands together at the end of this talk in about two slides from now, I would like to ask you not to do that because of me, but because of my PhD student, Rami, who is the lead author of this paper. Rami arrived from Iraq via Jordan, where he spent 3 years as a refugee, you know, there. And he did an astronomy degree in Baghdad. We prize ourselves, you know, for all sorts of different things. We are all different, and the SNRs are different as all my students. So well done, Rami. Thanks.
Thank you, Miroslav. Do we have questions? Samara?
I have a question on EO102.
We have the lights, please. Sorry, go ahead.
So you had a slide on EO102, and you mentioned there's a pulsar wind nebula candidate in it.
Yes.
So it's from the nebulosity, I guess. What's the spectral index?
Flat.
Sorry?
Flat. Don't ask me more than that. Oh, flat. Okay. Flat means, you know, minus 0.2, 0.3, as flat as you would expect.
And polarized.
Yes, it's within the 2 gigahertz bandwidth, so that's the reason why I'm not confident to talk too much about that. So I would like to see a more.
That was ASCAP?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No, no, this was outcome, sorry, this was outcome at 2.1 and 6 gigahertz band. So I used only 5.5 gigahertz band with a 2 gigahertz bandwidth. So the spectral index comes from only 2 gigahertz bandwidth. And I would like to have a much bigger before I'm claiming that this is definitely pulsar wind nebula.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, with regard to that, it's interesting that that region, of course, is well known in early X-ray images from Chandra, but I'm not aware of any hint of non-thermal emission from that region in X-rays. We have other questions? Over there.
So just to follow up on that point, comparing with the old contours for EO-102, especially in that central region, so you don't have any black contour, does that mean that the glow would be new and the central glow appeared, or is it just because the contours level just, I mean, were chosen?
1992, compact ray at 1992 was a very different than compact ray today. So I do see something in 1992 there as well, but it's between 3 and 5 sigma, and I don't want to claim anything between 3 and 5 sigma.
Other questions? Okay, thanks a lot, Miroslav.
Thank you.